Hello, everyone. Welcome to my inaugural episode of my XL Tribesmen podcast. We did it. A year in the making, and we did it. Finally, first episode is here. My first guest is none other than the amazing photographer Stanley. And we dive into a lot of different discussions about pricing, how to charge, what should be your first lens, what should be your second lens, different things like that. So photography is mainly the basis of the conversation, but I just wanted to open it up because I'm so excited. Like, so excited that I'm finally launching my first podcast. Oh, I'm so excited! Anywho, please, guys, listen, comment, rate, subscribe to the podcast. I really created this for XL men to have a voice that represents them, their struggles, the things that they are going through and will continue to go through. So we need this podcast to flourish across the lands of XL people. Thank you so much. And now let's get into the conversation. One more thing before the show starts. Let's get into this mix right quick. I'm gonna play a little short clip of my mix that I'm really into right now. Just, you know, get a little music popping.
Yeah, they ain't gonna like it. They ain't gonna like it. I be getting to the money. Everybody mad. Think I'm getting too much money. Everybody mad.
Same old nigga from the. Well, now that I have you guys on commercial break, let's talk about ways you can support the XL Tribesmen brand. A lot of times people ask me, how do I support or what ways I can support? Because not everyone needs a photo shoot. Not everyone needs a website. So another main way you can support is through an effort called Patreon. That's patreon.com/XL Tribe. Now with Patreon, the ways you can support us are very interesting. We have a bunch of different tiers that you can donate at. It's 1, 3, 5, 85, and then 100. And each of those different tiers that you donate on patreon.com will get you a different level of access to me, into the company. And so what I'd like is for you guys to head over to the site, check it out. And if you have any questions, don't be afraid to shoot me DMs or message me through the site. And, you know, if you guys are wondering how to support, that's definitely one of the ways you can support. Like I said, not everyone needs a photo shoot, not everyone needs a website, and not everyone needs styling. So that's definitely a way you can support the brand through efforts other than the four I just stated. Now, let's jump back into the show. Shoot. Alrighty, so welcome everyone. This is episode number one of the XL Tribe podcast, and I have my guest here is none other than Stanley. What's the name of your photography?
Yernats Photography, Yernats Photography.
Perfect. And so what I decided to talk about, since photography has become one of the main things I do on the site, I decided to get with another photographer. And he's been way more experienced than I am, so he knows a lot more about shooting than I do. So I wanted to bring an expert on. I'm going to call you an expert.
Not an expert, but okay.
And so in terms of that, I just wanted to kind of get people to understand things you should do, things you shouldn't do when you're first starting in photography. So introduce yourself. Tell the people, like, you know, what are some of experiences that you realize later on that you wish you knew when you first started photography.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Stanley. I've been shooting for the past 3 years. Talking about experience, one of the things that I realized you should not do is to be focused on gears. First of all, they are expensive.
I was very focused on gears.
Yes, they are expensive. You should understand how they work first before you choose which what kind of gears that you're going to need for what type of photography you want to do. And secondly, it's better to understand all your craft. What do you want to do? What do you want to achieve? And how you supposed to? And don't not be afraid to ask questions to somebody that you know that you think that knows better than you. So even though you understand,
that's actually a good one. Hold on, yes. I'm gonna get back to that. So when you finish with that, you actually should go into like, what do you feel like the first piece? Obviously, you need a camera, but what's the first thing you should invest in after you've invested in your whatever? Actually, you know what? What's your recommendation for your first camera?
Okay, there's different type of camera. First of all, I would never suggest that you just jump into the professional one because they're kind of really expensive. There's different levels. You can depend on your pocket. If you want to start at the bottom, feel free. If you want to start mid-range, it's okay. But if your pocket is good and you want to go all the way to a professional camera, feel free. But the main thing is to understand the principles of photography. There's different ways to take a picture and what the picture you want to show in your picture. Okay. So first of all, I would tell anyone that wants to go into photography, you have to understand what kind of art it is. It's not just because you see something, you click on it, and then that's a picture. A picture means way more than that to me. So you have to be able to tell a story. You have to be able to concentrate and show details on some different stuff. So therefore, you have to express what you want to do in your picture. It's not just about clicking and then, oh, I took a picture. No, you shoot something, but what does it mean? How do you present? So there are rules into it.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. So let's narrow it down. So basically what you're saying is, at the beginning, you have to first know what type of photography you even want to do.
Yes.
All right, so let's narrow it down, since I'm pretty sure a lot of my audience are going to be other bloggers, other creatives. So let's say for a blogger, what do you think an entry-level camera would be that would give them good enough photos that they can start promoting themselves online as a blogger?
Okay. As a blogger, you will be shooting, but you're not gonna go into too much details in your photography. Basically, so what I would suggest to any blogger is to invest in a good lens. You do not need to have a very expensive camera to be a blogger. You can have a beginner's camera or a mid-range camera, but your lens, that's what you need, because you're gonna basically, most of the bloggers, that's my opinion, sit still and they talk about a subject. They don't really move around or need some type of details in their shot. So therefore, the lens, if you have a good lens, mm-hmm. and that shows more lighting, and you know photography is about all the lighting that you can get into the sensors. Mm-hmm. So therefore, a good lens should have you
be set in up, the mid-range?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. So my first lens that I purchased outside of the kit lens was the 50. Do you think that was a good choice, or I could have went with something better? Or
The 50 is still, it's been around for a good long time, and it's still a good workhorse lens. Personally, if I'm not doing anything specific, you'll find a 50 on my camera almost every day.
Okay.
The 50 is always there. It's so versatile. You can do so many things with it. So that to me, and I'm pretty sure a lot of other photographers will agree with me, it's one of the workhorse in the industry.
Okay, so I did good then.
You did good on this one.
All right, so that actually was actually my actually highest lens. I haven't purchased any other lens, but I've been looking into other ones. So, all right, so now we got our entry level lens, and the 50 is across the board, right?
Oh, no, across the board.
So Canon, Nikon, Sony, they all have a 50.
They all have the 50. Okay. Most manufacturers have a 50.
Have the 50. Okay, yes. That's good. All right, so now we've invested in our first lens. So at what point do you think that we would then move into our second lens? Because we've had the 50, we've explored the
like how far we can push it. So when is it time, or when do you feel the appropriate time is to say, okay, I've had this lens, I should upgrade? At what point should that happen?
You upgrade depending on what you shoot. You don't upgrade because, oh, there's a new lens out there and then you just go and buy it. No.
Oh,
you
okay.
upgrade depending on what you're shooting exactly. You know, it would depend on what kind of future you're looking for. Because there's zoom lens, there's prime lens, which is a fixed lens, like a 50, it's a prime.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know that. Every time, like when I go to events and I'm like, can you take my picture? They're like, it doesn't zoom. I'm like, it's a prime lens. They're like, huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, it don't move. It doesn't have any other millimeters to go to.
And then you just, the only way you move with the fifth prime lens is about with your feet. How far you can go from the subject or close to the subject. That's the only way you're going to move.
That's
with
what the zoom
prime lens.
Okay.
Your zoom is your feet, basically.
Okay.
if I can say so.
All right.
Yes. And then you only change lenses depending on your needs. If you're doing portraits, maybe you want to go with a 85. That can give you a little wider range.
Oh, with an 85. Yeah, Princess just got the 85. And I like it. I feel like the pictures are so much brighter with the 85.
Just because the 85 is larger than the 50, it takes in
more light.
More light gets into your sensor. But at the same time, you know, you have to understand when you get more light, you cannot create some highlights also. You have to, you know, calculate your speed, your ISO, you know, all of these parameters that you have to control and then make sure your pictures come right. But definitely the 85, it's for portrait, is really good. I can say so. Yeah.
And a lot of times when you're a blogger, what you need pictures of is not only like a great face, but detail. Like if I'm wearing a watch, because a lot of times when you grow as a blogger, what you start doing is you start getting into brand promotions. So companies will send you things to promote for them. So
yes.
If it's jewelry, you know, you need something that you can get capture the detail.
So for that, my advice would be to go into a lens that's a kind of zoom, or you can go with a micro lens. Yes.
I've heard of macro lenses, but I don't know exactly what they are.
What they do exactly? Any little micro lens, because how can I explain exactly? Any little details come bigger, basically. Yeah.
Oh, it's like the fisheye lens.
The fisheye lens is curve around the edges. That's why you see it does that.
Yeah, that bubble effect.
Yeah, that's the fisheye, which is nice effect that the lens. It's they play with the distortion of the lens and then made it happen, which is the fisheye. But the macro lens, you would get closer to your details, to the subject, and see it way bigger. That's what we do, the macro lens we do for you.
Okay.
Some type of zoom lens, I think it's, if I recall, it's the 1.4, I think it's a macro lens also.
1.35?
Yeah, 1.35, okay. 1.4, I think it's a macro lens also. There's even adapters for your 50 also. You can add it to your 50 and make it a macro lens also.
Oh, wait. Yes, you're taking me down a whole new road. So my 50, I can put an adapter on the front of my 50 that will change my 50 into a macro lens.
Yes, you can do so.
Mind blown.
Yes.
I didn't know there was anything else you could do with the lens.
Yeah, there's some shortcuts, yes, because, you know, any little thing in photography, that's one thing I want to tell to everyone that's listening to us. In photography, any little thing costs a lot of money. It's not just the photographers that are greedy that wants enough money, but they want to get enough money to buy gears also.
That's actually a great segue. So
therefore,
pricing is going to be my next thing.
They have to charge you and reference of the gears that they want to buy and future gears, and to get better at their craft also. So that's part of the details.
Perfect. So actually, I'm glad he went into that segue, because one thing that I get into a lot, I'm a new photographer, and one thing I find sometimes people tell me my prices are too high, and I'm always interested in understanding how they think my price is too high. when you look at standings prices, you're going to fall out because they high. And one thing I want to understand that I never understood before was how to price your photos, especially, like I said, I've been doing photography for almost a year, not quite. We're like 2 months away from a year that I've been professionally doing photography. Of course, like before that, I was covering events or doing little things like that. But this is the first time where I'm actually going to, like, I'm actually getting ready to, like, raise my prices and start, like, limiting the number of edits. But sometimes people don't understand why that is, why your prices have to go up. But I'm glad that you explained a little bit of your pricing structure. Because earlier we were talking, and you were telling me about your three yeah. price rules. So I want you to go into that a little bit.
Okay. As I mentioned before, yes, it costs to have a business in photography. It does have a big cost. And therefore, you want better gears, better equipment, better, you know, images to satisfy your customers. Yes, it takes time, and you have to value your time also. Therefore, you're going to have to charge a little bit more to, not because you want get an arm and a leg from the customer. You don't want that. You want the person to come back for sure. But if you want to give the person quality, you have to get quality equipment also. You cannot be have a, if I can say that word, shitty.
You can say, you can curse.
shitty equipment, and then expecting, you know, to give them to some person like good stuff.
It makes sense.
Therefore, it costs. And myself, like I was telling you earlier, the way I do it, there's myself, there's my business, and then the business, as I have to pay the business also. So therefore, my prices might be a little bit higher than some other photographers, not because I said I'm better than whoever. Me, my goal is to get better than yesterday. So yeah. Every day I try to get better. I still go to classes. I still...
You do?
Yeah. I still go to classes, you know, to some workshop. Because, like my dad liked to say, since I was when we were kids, he always says, there's always room for improvements.
There is, but your photos are like the bomb.
I appreciate that.
They're so good. I'm striving to get to... I like the photos you just took of us earlier today. Like, I'm looking at the lens like... like, how do you do this?
No, it takes time to get better. You have to have the willing to get better at something to do it. So, therefore, it takes time. And then you have to have... It's not... A lot of people have been telling me, oh, why you do this? Why do you do that? Yes, I spend hours sometimes, you know, practicing. Sometimes I shoot people not because they pay me, but I want to practice a new thing that I've learned.
A new technique.
A new technique, a new stuff. Mm-hmm. And I spend hours. So when I'm going to shoot you, you hire me to do a shoot, and I'm going to do all that for you, make sure the event I'm covering or your personal shoot to come good. So it's all these practices that I've been doing that I'm going to put into my work for you. Therefore, I need to get paid for that. It's not free.
That's true. That's very true. So I think one thing that was really interesting with the pricing structure is setting a price, like you said, that you can pay yourself, pay your business, and then reinvest
in my business,
in equipment, and whatever your business needs to continue to flourish.
Yes.
And I think that's very important, because I can honestly say when I started photography, my prices did not include, you know, let's talk about business. Like, it didn't include the price. It's not cheap to host photos.
No.
Space, when a photographer sends photos to you, whatever program he's using, more than likely he or she has to pay for that program. Like, yes. I pay $20 a month for Google Drive.
Yes.
So I can have enough space to send you photos.
Yes.
I have to pay additional hosting because my host is... I had to upgrade my host because they say I have too many pictures in there. So there's other things that your business that you have to pay for that I wasn't aware of. So when I was charging for my photography, it was really just based on my time but not knowing that my business, and I need to buy new equipment, because if I have to grow, I have to invest.
You have to invest. And it's like your baby. You work at, you have to feed your baby. So yep. Therefore, your business is your baby. You need a new equipment. You have to invest. You have to take care of it. And how you do that? It's by satisfying your customers for them to come back. And for them to come back, you have to make that balance between the price that you're asking and what you're getting paid for.
That makes perfect sense.
It's a balance.
So in terms of that, that's a good one, actually. So when it's time, actually, you know what? Give me two tools you use in photography, because I think learning from other photographers, I think there are other services. I actually don't think Google Drive is the best one, and I actually would like to have more of a catalog, so when I send clients their photos, it's something they could share the link with their friends, and it looks gorgeous along with the gorgeous photos, you know, not just
It's tricky. There's a few services out there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are more expensive than others. It's all about your business, actually. How fast you grow.
Mm-hmm.
How fast you're getting customers also. Because if you're not getting that much customers on a monthly basis,
mm-hmm.
there's no need to get the best service out there. Because you're going to be spending that kind of money.
I'm glad you talked about that, because that was another thing. I think I did have a little bit of imposter syndrome, because I did feel like looking at your work, looking at Amika, like a lot of the other photographers that I follow, like Kia, like their work is just gorgeous. And every time you look at these photos, you're like, okay, how do I get to this level? So you start investing in things that your business isn't ready for.
Exactly.
Because you're not at that level where you're getting clients.
At that level yet. And even me, I still want to grow. Yes, people are saying your pictures are nice and that, but I still want to grow.
You still want to grow.
I still want better equipment. I still want to have more customers. And I remember doing a conversation earlier. You were talking about, do you feel like the need or keep on searching for customers? Unfortunately, I'm going to tell you it's a yes. You still have to search for new customers.
I don't want to.
Man,
I want to just have my set 10 customers that I work with on a monthly basis. And I'm good.
I wish we would have reached a point we don't need to look for more customers. I wish it would be that easy, but it's not. But look at it. If admitting that you have 10 customers mm-hmm. monthly, and you've been having those 10 customers,
mm-hmm.
the 10, out of those 10, 3 of them shoot monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough. It doesn't generate enough income to take care of the business and the growth that you want to achieve.
Uh-huh. It's not.
So therefore, the need to have more customers is always getting bigger, and the needs. It's getting bigger. Why? You want to grow. It's a human thing. We want to grow. We want to get better. We want better equipment. If I'm telling somebody right now, the next camera I'm about to buy is going to cost me $5,000. So, what you going to tell me?
I can't afford it.
Okay. So, I'm not expecting for one customer going to pay me the $5,000. But I need to get more and more and more customers, work for them, save enough money until I can reach to buy that camera. It's a $5,000 camera.
I got it.
And I'm talking about the body only. I'm not talking about new lenses, anything like that.
Just the body?
Just the camera body. Yes, somebody's going to tell me why I'm spending $5,000 on a camera body. And I might tell you, the same way someone is buying a Watch for $200,000 or more,
mm-hmm.
it's the same as a car, but it's the quality of the what built that I have in the Watch World compared to your Toyota, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They both cars. They both drive with four wheels.
True.
But the quality build that they have on the Watch World, you won't find it in Toyota.
Right. Yeah. You won't find what's in Rolls Royce. Toyota is bad. It's just not the same.
It's just not the same thing.
I get it. So if you want Rolls Royce photos, you have to buy.
If you want Rolls Royce photos, you have to buy Rolls Royce camera.
That makes sense.
So okay. That's what I want. Everybody want to grow, and then for that, it costs a lot of money.
Okay. Well, that's perfect. All right. Well, I think one thing I learned from this conversation is I'm gonna definitely look into the 85. I mean, I do want another lens, but I looked at the 85, but I looked at it once and I saw the price was like almost $400, and yes. I was like, okay, I'll wait.
No, listen, I'm not gonna say that you have to buy the 85 right now. As for details, like I told you, there's adapters that you can put on the 50.
Oh yeah, you did say that.
For the
that was one thing. I'll definitely look into the adapter.
And then also, do your work really required of 85? That you have to ask your question. That question: how often gonna be you be using that 85? Because you don't want to buy something for $500-$600 and leave it on your desk that getting dust for months and not be using.
That's a good question. I don't think it's going to collect dust, but if you need it to do
for a client that's doing something for today, go and rent it. Rent it that day, coming back for 2-3 days, and that's it. And then until you can have more customers and then get better. One advice that I would give to any new photographer, like I first started, some people would say, why it took me so long to change my camera, change my lenses, and stuff like that. I didn't want to be a gearhead. Every time I see a new gear, I have to get it. But getting new gears, new camera, new lenses, and stuff like that, does it make you better? Yes, no. You have good
equipment. Your skills will make you better.
Yeah, your skills make you better. Because I remember... okay, I'm a side story. Something personal that happened to me. I was with my old camera, and then I went to an event. There's a lot of big shot photographers right there, and then one of them just saw which camera that I was using, and then started making fun out of it, until one of the another guy started to shut him down, and then he told me, "Don't worry, son. I was at your stage right there, and then one day you're gonna get to my level right there." And then that really encouraged me to understand my little camera
more,
to push it to the limits. Understanding your camera and see what you can do with your camera first.
Gonna get you
a better base to have a brand new camera, a better level camera. You won't need to try to figure how it's gonna work, because you already know everything that with the small camera, and your camera, the new one, just get better. And then don't be afraid to ask questions to anyone that you know that think
that's
better than you.
That's another great
don't
advice.
Be afraid to ask questions. Trials and errors, that's it. Keep on going. It's all about the willingness to be better. That's one thing. Push yourself. Do not limit yourself. And then don't be afraid to make mistakes. We all do.
I definitely made mistakes.
We all do make mistakes. We can all learn from somebody else, even from a new customer.
Because they're learning something else you might not have learned yet.
My dad always says there's a different way to skin a cat.
That's true.
So, hey.
Well, that's very good. Well, I want to thank you, Stanley, for being my first guest on my XL Tribesman podcast. You guys have no idea. Like, literally, I've been wanting to start this podcast for more than a year, but I could never find what would be the right way to start the podcast. So when the idea of Princess Staycation came along, it's like I have the opportunity to finally make my podcast. I'm like, I'm doing my podcast the next time we do our staycation. So first, I want to thank you for being my guest. What I want you to do now is tell people where they can follow you, which we need to work on your Instagram. But tell them where they can follow you online.
All right. Online, you can follow me at yelnatsphotography.com. And that's also, you can go to Facebook. It's yelnatsphotography. And Instagram at yelnatsphotography. It's YELNATS photography. And the same name goes for every platform.
Okay, all right.
Yelnats Photography.
All right, so I will actually put that in the show notes for any of who didn't catch it. And thank you so much for being my guest. And today we're going to sound off with episode number 1. Thank you.
All right, so I'm so glad, and thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure. It's one of my first time doing such a thing like
first
that.
First time doing a podcast?
First time doing
a podcast. Look at that. Pop the podcast cherry.
Yeah, exactly. So alrighty. I'm glad. So I hope I enlightened some people.
Hopefully. I hope so too.
And then if they ever have any questions for me, you can go through you or ask me directly from my page. I would be glad to answer you guys. Any
perfect
photos out there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much,
and
guys.
Keep on shooting, guys, for the photo.
Keep shooting.
Bloggers, keep on shooting and do what you gotta do. And
you'll get better.
Exactly. Get better at it, guys.
Alrighty. Bye. Bye.